So that is our prayer as we come to address God's word, that he would speak to us because we are listening. So how is your hearing? Our ability to hear is without doubt a wonderful thing, something to be oh so very, very grateful for. And all the more so when the one who is speaking to us loves us and is telling us something that is for our best good. As a child, I can well remember being told by my parents on numerous occasions that things they said to me seemed to just go in one ear and out the other. And although by this time you would imagine that I had learned to listen when someone is speaking to me, as a husband, it seems that I'm still doing it. Only now it's called selective deafness. Well, it's one thing to be careless about our listening to each other, but it's quite another when it's God who is speaking to us. I think you'll agree. And that's the issue we're dealing with this morning, hearing God's voice. The very idea that God might speak to us audibly probably seems exceedingly unlikely to most of us here today, and that would probably, I think, be true for most of us. But there are people today who would confirm that this has happened to them. But it's rare, just as it was rare in the time of Samuel for the word of God to be properly handled and dealt with. The whole subject of God speaking to us, of course, is as you know, much wider than audible and direct speech. As Psalm 19 puts it so majestically, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, that day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. God also speaks to us through his written word, obviously, the Bible, as the same Psalm also confirms, the law of the Lord is perfect. Thy word is truth. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, through the preaching of his word, through prayer. We know all these things, through people, through the circumstances of our lives. And of course, supremely, in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As the opening verses of the letter to Hebrews puts it, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The sobering thing, however, is that in spite of having all these lines of communication with God open to us, what happened to Samuel can just as easily happen to us. That we don't recognize God's voice when he is speaking to us. As Jesus explained in our reading from John chapter 10, when he is our shepherd, we follow him because we know and recognize his voice. Samuel was hearing the voice of God, but because he'd never heard it before, it simply baffled him. Why? Because, as verse 7 of that chapter we read tells us, he didn't yet know the Lord. Remember that? He didn't yet know the Lord. Yes, he was young as he was. Samuel was totally immersed in the religious practices of the temple. But in the sense of having a personal faith experience of the Lord, he didn't know him. And in the same way, it's possible to be totally immersed in the affairs of the church and not know the Lord of the church. The 23rd Psalm, which is the trigger, as it were, for what we read in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, Psalm 23 is probably the best known and most loved of all the Psalms. But how true are its opening words? The Lord is my shepherd, to all of us who sing it and know it. How indeed can we be sure that he is our shepherd? As Jesus went on to explain later on in that chapter, we believe in him because he laid down his life for our salvation, and he took it up again so that we might have eternal life. There was a time when you and I didn't know the Lord. There may be somebody here this morning who doesn't know the Lord. I don't know. He does. But the wonderful thing is, as we read here in Samuel, regarding Samuel, that the breakthrough into a true faith and a knowledge and understanding of God is always personal and tailored to our own particular circumstances. That's wonderful. We'll come back to Samuel in a minute, but we mustn't forget Eli here, because if Samuel stands out clearly as an encouragement to us in this business of hearing God's voice, Eli stands as a warning of what happens when we don't. For it is possible to be a true believer and no longer hear the voice of God. Eli was a true believer, but because God was not pleased with him, he was no longer hearing God's voice. He still had the spiritual knowledge and insight to realize what was happening to Samuel, and indeed, he gave him good advice too. But the fact was that although God had a message for Eli, he didn't give it to him, he gave it to Samuel. And this is what is likely to happen when God is not pleased with us. Our lines of communication with him break down. Eli had walked with God all his life, but here he was at its end, estranged and distant from him. He can still recognize when God is speaking to others, but it was a sad situation to be in. And it had been a long time coming, as it happens. It's so easy to become mechanical and routine about familiar things, isn't it? Even our faith and our worship and our calling to follow Jesus, even that. That we are no longer living with a sense of expectation that there might be something that God wants us to do, say to us. But here's the thing, this is the great encouragement. Unlike our physical hearing that tends to deteriorate with age, our capacity for our spiritual hearing can actually increase. And indeed, it will increase with age if it continues to be stimulated by our reading and attention to God's Word and the Bible, and by prayer and by willing service to Him. The Christian life is sometimes likened to a race, isn't it? That's not so much a sprint, but a marathon. Or, putting it another way, the job's not done until it's finished. What we did for the Lord 20, 40, even 60 years ago maybe, was fine and good in its day. But what about now? What about today? As God's Word says in a number of places, as you may know, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And why would we do that anyway? Why would we harden our hearts? Because it's possible to hear God's voice and ignore it and do nothing about what he's saying to us. It's possible to do that. And this, sadly, although we may not always be aware of it, is probably our most common response to God, to hearing God's voice. Because it's too challenging, maybe? Or it calls us to make a sacrifice for the sake of his kingdom that it's just too much for us, or so we think. Take up too much of our time, our energy, our money. Or, as it was for Samuel, It was too scary. The consequences of doing what he was being told to do frightened him. When Samuel did eventually say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," the message he was given to pass on to Eli was a message of judgment. No wonder he was frightened. Not only was it a scary message, Eli was his boss, if you like, his guide, his mentor. How could he possibly tell him that he and his sons were going to be struck down and his family line terminated? Well, fortunately, of course, Eli knew already what was coming to him, and this was the confirmation. And so he was able to coax God's message out of Samuel, and for a time, all was well. Well, at least for Samuel. But you see, the same is true for us, I would say. No matter who we are, from time to time, in some way, we all hear God's voice telling us to do something that we'd rather not do. Like, for example, a Christian man I read about whose life was going swimmingly. All was well. Everything was just hunky-dory. Lovely wife and family, nice home, nice car, top of the range, expensive holidays, successful in business, upwardly mobile in every way. And yet, and you see it and hear it often enough, I was discontented, still not happy. Why? And he became uneasy about his lifestyle and sensed that God was calling him to give it all up. This was definitely not what he wanted to hear. Should he just ignore it? Was it really God who was speaking to him? Or what? Well, to cut a very long story short, having laid it all on the line to God in prayer, he didn't become a missionary in some faraway land. In fact, he got to stay precisely where he was and keep what he had. But the very clear message he got in that time was that he had to share it more. He had to give more of it away. And he had to trust less in material things. And in short, he simply had to direct more of his attention to God and his purposes. From the start, it was a message he really didn't want to hear. But he did accept it, thankfully. And so that was the outcome. And this is true, that this idea of hearing what we don't want to hear is true of the gospel itself. I dare to say that. It's not an easy message to accept. If you think it is, well, tell me how you find it that way. Because we call it good news, but it's only good news for those who hear it and receive it. For those who don't, it's anything but good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's great news, the best news in the world. But Jesus also said that if anyone would come after him, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Die to yourself in order to live for me. You will be persecuted and falsely accused of all sorts of things because of me. And many other things were said in that vein. It's tough. No soft option, I'm sure you know. Paul Little spent many years sharing the gospel with university and college students, answering their questions. Occasionally, he would meet someone who would agree that he had answered all their questions about God to their complete satisfaction. So he would say to them, "Okay, are you ready to become a Christian then?" "Well, no," was the usual reply. "Why not?" "Because it would mean too radical a change in my life," was the gist of their replies. Through Little, they heard the voice of God, and they decided to do nothing about it. But we haven't we? We're listening and hearing the word of God. But are we receiving it? Are we taking it seriously? James in his letter to the early church, says this: don't merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Very simple, but profound. Some of us, you know, don't need to hear more, know more of the gospel of the Bible. We just need to do something about what we've already heard and know. Is there something we could do that would help us to listen so that we become doers of the word more readily and not just hearers? Well, absolutely. Of course there is. It's no secret today that our capacity to focus on anything for very long has been hugely weakened by our dependence on technology and the instant stimulation that it can bring to us at the click of a button. Add to that the many options available to us through the same means to amuse ourselves and distract our minds. And it's no exaggeration to say we really need to learn, or maybe relearn, how to simply listen and hear what God is saying to us. And Samuel's story and where he was at the time when he heard God's voice tells us really so much about what we need to know and to do. And it's not rocket science, it very really is. Find a quiet place. Find a quiet place where you can shut out the noisy clamor of the world and take time, as we sang earlier, to be still and know the presence of the Lord and listen. If you haven't already cultivated the practice of carving out a quiet time each day when you get aside with God and do this, I strongly recommend that you do so. And I can tell you, you won't find it easy. You won't find it easy. It will take real discipline and determination to resist just not bothering one day, and then one day will become another day, and so on and so forth. Or alternatively, you'll start cramming it into a few rushed minutes before you get on to things that you think are more important. But it will pay rich dividends in your walk with God if you stick with it, I can assure you. I mean, we're awash with helps today. Bible reading notes are available, they're everywhere to help us. Hymn books are ideal. I don't know, don't just use them on Sunday mornings. They're ideal for prompting us our praise and getting into the presence of God in our time with Him. And of course, prayer, all vital in our relationship if we are to grow and mature in our relationship with God. Just as any close relationship depends on the mutual sharing of our lives, so too with God. So too with God. If we love Him, we'll make sure we keep in close touch with Him and we'll respond to all He has to say to us in whatever way He chooses to speak to us. We didn't sing it, but let's finish on these words of the old hymn and let them be our prayer this morning, our prayer of commitment to Him. You remember it, some of you. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of your word. Like him, to answer at your call and to obey you first of all. Amen. May God add his blessing to these reflections on his word.